Previously, on Short Quest Long Rest, Good Vibrations.
Guys, I think we're in danger.
You dropped a ship on me, you sons of bitches!
No, Eddie is the one that dropped a ship on you. I'm the one that has yet to perform.
And I'm gonna full power.
He's not even close enough to shoot you! God damn it!
Oh, yeah!
Use the shield to kind of like divert him in a different direction. And he goes fucking flying off, smashes into this thing and explodes.
Seven, he's doing a flyby and then flying off the map.
You guys have successfully broken Sedona 17 out of Galta Prison and are on your way back home. Everybody, to another edition of Good Vibrations. What is my family doing tonight? My beautiful, beautiful, beautiful family. The people that I think about on a daily basis and wonder, I wonder how them folks is doing. So tell the people, how you guys doing?
I'm doing good.
There.
You're doing good.
Hey. I'm doodling.
She's
doodling. If you hear a sound like this, I don't know if you can catch that.
Yep.
I have had a bit of sugar. I'm a little jazzed, and when I have had a bit of sugar, I rub my hands together as a way to get the energy out.
Like a
car salesman that's like true, really excited about
like
that
a
sale,
car,
like
a
yeah, or a bad guy that's plans about to come to fruition.
Yeah, like the meme of the dude behind the tree with his hands together,
like a dick dastardly, like,
yeah, all of those things ever since I was a child.
Nice.
I have always like, yo, I get lots of energy in me.
Everyone's
I need to get
got
it out.
Their thing,
so
man, you know, if it's not that, it's something else. Gotta get it out somehow.
Yeah, mine's all just facial expressions. My wife tells me that like, I can't talk to dumb people in like social settings because my face reflects the disappointment like very like, and I don't mean to do it, but it's just like I'll slowly start leaning in and my eyes get bigger and bigger, like, what are you even fucking saying right now? Actually, I had one of those moments last night and had a bunch of people laughing because I was helping at work do some things, and one of the people I work with is a flat earther.
Oh, no.
And she threw it out there like matter of fact.
You don't just throw that out there.
It hard. She hit it hard. She was like, because we were arguing about something else, because we always did. I used to be her manager back in the day, and I'm not anymore. But she we were arguing about something, and I was just like, that's not how that works, da 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 da. And she's like, oh, by the way, Dane, the earth is flat. Oh. And I was just like, no fucking way. And it just turned into this. Yeah, and then as she would like tell me, she's like, you tell me, how are we going 66,000 miles per hour and all the water isn't just flying off behind us?
Centripetal force. Yeah,
I just like, as she was doing it though, I just kept slowly like leaning in like, what? What? And then her like the whole thing, like her explanation was like, well, you know, when you take off in a plane, your face goes back. I was like, yeah, but does it stay that way? No, because inertia keeps you going and puts you in place. It's why I can pour a fucking glass of water in an airplane. It doesn't fly to the back of the goddamn fucking plane because I'm moving at the same speed and so is the water. That's how that fucking works. And she's like, no, it's not how it works. It's in a container. I'm like, what does that matter? So is the cup. What the fuck? I'm not going to get into it any further, but like, it got me fired up. I was red-faced, and I was just like, and I can't help myself in that situation. God. I'm supposed to be like, I'm like upper middle management. I am not supposed to be yelling at fucking employees about fucking earth, flat earth experiences.
I mean, when they're being dumb shits.
I couldn't help it. I was just like, that's how it fucking works. You don't know shit.
I've seen you do that with Eric so many times.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was not you, Eric. There's we have an old friend back from our neighborhood. I love him with all my heart, but I used for years, we were like, even though we lived like within two houses of each other, everybody else was my friends. I always stated he was my acquaintance.
Damn.
I know. It was cold. Ooh. It's cold blooded, but I would always say that shit. They'd be like, oh, this is my friend Dane. I was like, we're more acquaintances.
Because you really didn't agree with some of the stuff.
It's not just what I didn't agree with. He had a way of being himself. He was a very, like, he didn't have a lot of self-esteem, but the moment you gave him just the semblance of, like, hey, dude, you did good, he turned into the biggest fucking dick, and just, like, and then tried to belittle everyone around him to, like, get as much more as he could, so then I'd have to slap him down and put him back in his place, and then it put him back into, like, sad mode, and I'd be like, god damn it, now I feel like an asshole, and, like, you could never find in common ground. He was either, like, a sad sack or just the biggest asshole ever, and you couldn't find a fucking middle ground, and it drove me crazy. I kicked him out of my house so many times. I'd just be like, get the fuck out. I can't handle you right now. You need to go the fuck home. But anyways. Oh, wow, that was not the tangent I thought we were going on at the beginning of this one. But
oh my god.
I don't know if I keep all this in. This is about specific people.
What if through just sharing in the office or by pure chance,
yep,
she catches a hold of this episode?
Oh, I'll fucking play it for her. I would absolutely do it. Just be like, hey, just so you know, these other people, they're laughing at you. But no. She even said that. She's like, well, I can take everybody. I know people laugh at me, but I'm going to be
okay.
Right.
I was going to say, look, you can't say some wild shit and not expect a wild response. That's all I'm saying.
I agree.
You know, I would like to apologize to any flat earthers in our audience.
I don't.
I would
You're not
like
welcome
to.
There.
I would like to.
But I won't.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna leave that at that.
Yeah. I'm not gonna apologize to you out there, flat earthers, and I'm not gonna tell you gotta leave like Lando said, but I will say, holy fuck, do some actual research. Not that fucking below the
Echo
dome
chamber
or whatever bullshit. Just actually listen to some goddamn scientists, and trust me when I say two things that'll fucking shatter the whole thing. First of all, not every scientist in the world can be on the fucking take. And understand that when it comes to flat earth, it is dickheads in their basement and every scientist in the world on the other side. So that's the first step. Secondly,
some of them are not in basements, some of them are in offices.
That's true. There are some people, unfortunately, it does go
because
higher
they got
up
a
than
bunch
just dickheads
of
in basements.
Money from dudes in basements.
Exactly. They got people to actually buy into their bullshit. But anyway.
Submerging from the earth like a vampire.
Yeah.
From the flat earth like a vampire.
And the other thing is, why? Who benefits for there being a flat earth and a giant ice wall around the edge? It makes no fucking sense.
I love that this has Dane so fucking heated.
This one is just one of those things where
like
just,
about flat earth.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like I'm living on a pizza.
You know what?
Wouldn't that
like
be
I'm
nice?
Just
was this what Aerosmith meant when they said living on the edge?
Like life is the world
living
is
on,
the world's
living on
flat
the crust.
And I'm just a pepperoni.
Yeah.
I live on the crust of the earth, the pizza crust of the earth.
I'm on the pizza crust.
Or maybe I'm a cheese bubble.
Ooh, is that what mountains are? Is that what it is? See that?
No,
that I would go along with more fun if the world was a pizza and all the mountains are just cheese bubbles and the fucking sauce is water.
Cheese bubbles are sinkholes.
Fair.
Cheese bubbles, well, after they pop, they become sinkholes. They go down. But
the mountains don't pop, though.
Volcano.
Keep in mind we're talking about fictitious pizza world.
Yep, it starts off as a volcano and then it becomes a trench.
Why wouldn't you pick something like sausage? Like, a sausage has the right shape, it's the right density.
Okay.
Your mountains are sausages.
Josie, I will not be corrected on my metaphor for pizza.
I'm going to show you something crazy here. Follow this logic for a moment.
Yep.
Follow this logic for a moment. You said something that was wrong,
yep.
And I said something that was right.
No.
You have already been corrected.
Okay, first of all, you said something that was a fucking fictitious element to a fictitious element. There's no wrong or right in this conversation. This is like arguing with a flat earther, but two flat earthers arguing with each other. Neither of them are fucking right.
That whatever the final decision dictates, he wins that fight.
Yeah, you know what? Adam has not contributed
sausage
much to this conversation. You're the final decision. Yeah, Adam, who's right?
Adam's gonna come out and be like, actually,
I mean, there's
guys,
a high
flat
chance
earther.
It comes out against Dane. He usually does.
That's true. Adam, you there?
I.
Did you just fucking tune out?
Grandpa.
I think that's why my brain's so short-circuited right now.
That's
I
fair.
Cannot handle this shit.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fully, fully fair. So
this has been a 10-minute tangent.
Yep. We did it!
Should we play our game now?
Okay. Lando, I love that you keep time on that every time, too. Like, by the way, just for our audience, we don't do that on purpose. Lando is our buzzer to let us know we have tangented for 10 solid minutes and we need to fucking get back on track. So
this time it went to flat earth. In the world is a pizza.
Yep. The world is a pizza.
Oh god, I'm laughing too much. I'm too hot. Yeah. Give me a sec.
I am too. I like my room is fucking boiling right now and I am sweating. But so let's get into this shit and see what happens, because last time on Good Vibrations, you guys did what many deem to be the impossible. You broke into the Aslanti moon prison of Galta, owned and operated by one Sardat Ulavestra, Zolan Ulavestra himself, and escaped with a whole bunch of goddamn goofballs in tow. You got all of Talmran's friends out. You rescued Scree's goblin family, losing only a single gobbo along the way. By the way, I named him Splat. I thought that was fitting. You got two zombies, including one bird daddy. And you also have a Rivner Akeshti along the way with you. Ooh, actually, I just realized that could be like a Rivner Akeshti. Because you're counting all those things down. Like it's the 12 days of Christmas. Anyways, moving on. Couldn't remember how many days of Christmas there were.
This has been a mini-tangent by Dane.
Yeah, mini-tangent by Dane. So you have a Rivner Akeshti as well, who just, I think, just needs to get laid. I'm not 100% sure, but they do seem very upset. They keep talking about
snooze. The word is horny.
There you go. The word you're looking for is horny.
Yeah, can we drop that one off first?
You can shoot him out the fucking airlock if you want. It's up to you guys.
We're going
to
drop him off.
You could have not taken him.
Very sexy bus stop.
Very sexy. Truck stop.
And have fun.
Put some makeup on him and give him a little garter belt and put him on
do
the truck stop.
I mean, whatever he's got to do.
It is a lizard, too, so it could be a lot lizard.
I like it.
Yeah. And for those that don't know what a lot lizard is, look it up. Moving on. you also made it back. I kind of hand-waved this one. I couldn't remember if you actually took it, but I said you guys made it back with your robot, your one surviving robot. I know it meant something to you, and so I decided that's cool. You guys can have that robot.
Of course we were coming back with the robot.
Yeah.
There you go.
No way Auris would be leaving without.
Yep. So it's going to take a few hours to get back to Zed Station, but before we cut into that and that trip and all that fun stuff, I like to jump into this little movie style again. We're gonna do a little cutaway. I love my cutaways. Ooh. They're my favorite part. Nope, tough shit.
No.
Nope, I like to railroad you guys with these.
All
right. So, camera cuts away as you guys' ship bolts into the fucking drift as a Aslanti ship was trying to hunt you guys down, firing at you, missing to high heaven. Evandrian flew by, tried to crash a drone into you, but you guys just fucking outmaneuvered him, spun, slapped him away, and took off through the drift. You were out of there. As you guys do that, as soon as you jump into the drift, the camera cuts away. And it cuts to a science facility. Very similar to the one that Eddie and his socialist flamey friend Bernie blew up. The camera pans across several like vats of this glowing green fluid, and you see various human bodies floating in various states of... Wow, I used various three times in that, didn't I? states of damage. Until finally settling on a familiar face. Though this face is definitely in rough shape, as Evandrian floats there in this with his breathing apparatus around his mouth and nose, and both his legs and left arm are missing, looking freshly amputated.
He's fucking Vader now.
Oh shit, did we just make Vader?
Evaderian.
Yeah, Evadrian. Oh shit, I didn't even think of that. That's fantastic. There you go. He seems to be slipping in and out of consciousness as we see this long-haired, salt-and-pepper Aslanti lord step up to the glass, his face mirrored over Evandrian's just for a second, and this lavish purple cloak over one shoulder of a pristine officer's uniform. He stares a long while until Evandrian's eyes flutter open, staring back at him.
How the mighty have fallen, Evandrian. Your house in shambles, your heir dead, your name now a joke, all at the hands of a group of, what, upstart pack-wielders? Pathetic. And then you see Evandrian's eyes just burn with this hatred and anger, while the Lord only smiles and cocks a head, relishing in the helplessness of this once proud warrior. You cost me my best scientist. And he hesitates for a second. But you did inadvertently bring me the lost child. And he smirks as he pulls up this small puck-like device that displays a holovid recording. And there's a frozen image of Eddie beside this large fire elemental, and it hovers there just above the puck. And as it plays, we see Eddie's eyes glow bright as the sun, and the flash in this room, and the cameras are enveloped in a flame as the recording cuts out. The Lord turns away and speaks to this female scientist waiting at the ready nearby. Her hair raven-colored and pulled up into a very smart-looking bun, with dark skin and these stylish spectacles.
Ready, my ship. We leave for Aurelos immediately. The woman nods.
Yes, Sardat Ulvestra.
She glances back at the crippled form in the tube that was once the mighty Evandrian.
And what should we do with him?
Ulvestra looks back over his shoulder and hesitates again.
He's done me one last service. Outfit him and give him a chance to redeem himself.
Then he turns away again and walks towards the door. Before he disappears down the hallway, though, you hear one last order, kind of a little muffled and far away. He goes,
and get me Skraelin on the line. If they've been hiding in Zed, I want to know why it wasn't dealt with sooner.
Then, cut back to the relic. Now, you guys just broke out of fucking Galta prison with all these people on board on your way to freedom. What is the atmosphere like on the... Well, I guess right now, the relic.
Cramped,
that's true.
Crowded.
I was going to say, everybody solemn and quiet? Are people partying? What's going on?
Horus is very solemn and quiet.
That is true. You do have a dead zombie daddy.
Yep. Yeah, he's not in the best mood.
So I probably shouldn't play this, like, uplifting playlist of
probably
music.
Not.
That's understandable.
Probably not.
Okay, nope, that's understandable. I was going to say, I was going to start off with Friday I'm in Love, but that's perfectly fine. That's fine. I get it.
Ginger, as soon as they're aboard, and the space starts getting more crowded, it's kind of like, thankfully, usually takes a slimmer size, you know, large halfling, medium-sized creature, gradually gets too fed up with feeling crowded, and pulls a scree and slips into the, you know, if there is a vent in the ship.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. Just oozes into the vent. That's fun.
Just gonna find Scree and they're just kind of like huddled up, fiddling with something.
You know that that episode of Cowboy Bebop where there's like the thing from the fridge scurrying around?
Yeah, that's a good one. It's a great episode. Love it.
Yep, just gonna find Scree and they're just like,
hey, it's too crowded out there. I'm gonna come crowd you instead.
He just gives it like a little thumbs up and then goes back to fiddling with a grenade. He doesn't, like, he seems low energy, which is weird for him, but he's just chilling.
You know, we kind of did like a cool good thing, but everyone's just like feeling kind of shitty, it seems like. Like, no one died. We got a bunch of people out of prison. We escaped unharmed. So why is everyone treating it like a funeral?
Good words.
I mean, aside from, like, the one person in your goblin group that died. Sorry for them. Okay, so maybe it is a bit of a funeral. Oh, shit. And Oris's dad. Yeah, gonna stay here. You know, it's times like these I wish I understood goblin.
Thanks.
I'm gonna feel like maybe I pick up the vibe of Stinkler stank fuck him, and just kind of nod, even though she or they don't fully understand.
Was that the one that named? Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't remember that.
Was Stinkler. It Henry Stinkler?
It was just like every time they went into battle, it was just like, for Stinkler.
That's right. I forgot. I just jokingly called him Splat for funsies because he got splatted, but that's right. I do remember you saying his name was Stinkler, and that is fan-fucking-tastic. I love it. Yep. So, if everything's pretty quiet on the ship, on the way back, you know, it only takes a few hours, but it is a few solemn hours. There is some weird shit going on. You know, you guys are all aboard this ship, and you're kind of packed in tight. The others are pretty stoked, though. Red, like, yeah, Stinkler died, but Red and the rest of the goblins, they seem to be pretty stoked. They're sitting there kind of like retelling the tale of it, and they're doing it mostly in pantomimes and explosion noises. But like, they're like, and they do these little maniacal laughs and shit in between. Imagine the movie Gremlins. Like, that's how I always imagine the fucking goblins when they get together, is like the movie Gremlins. It's like, and they do the fucking weird laugh.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. So that's what goblins are.
Exactly. That's how I see them, at least in this. So they're doing that. Even the prisoners that you freed, they are like, they're not like joyously cheering and going off, but you see this kind of like this like elated look on their faces, like of them just excited about the things that have, you know, that they're free now. They made it out. But then of course you have like Silvana, Eddie's mother, who is sitting very quietly and solemnly and just kind of looking around the ship, probably wondering what fate is in store for her after all of this. And you also see that Aristo is very quiet, just kind of sitting there. He's got his head down, like resting along his rifle, and just very, very, very quiet as well. So the next, unless anybody's having conversations or anything, the next few hours pass pretty uneventfully through the drift.
I'd say that Scree is just avoiding being anywhere near the other goblins.
Okay.
So if they ever try and come into the vents with him and Ginger, and chases them out.
Yeah, I think probably at one point Red does dip his head in, like, and like kind of like, like, why aren't you out here having fun? And which is funny because they are completely oblivious to everybody else's solemn attitude. Like, everybody's quiet, everybody seems very like somber, and they're just fucking having a ball in the middle of it. So but yeah, he peeks in and then you hiss at him and he's like, puts his hands up, kind of slides back out and goes back to the group and just pokes over his shoulder like whatever he says there. I don't know. You guys can take it however you want. But,
something rude.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes it's just better to not even translate and just be like, we know what he said. And even if everybody has a different answer, it's still more fun. So now we cut back to Zed Station and the portal opens up and you guys come shooting out of the drift and there doesn't seem to be anybody waiting for you as far as, like, you know, Aslanti patrols or anything like that. It seems like you guys made it out of there and did so pretty much, I'm not going to say under the cover of darkness or anything like that, because, you know, you did good at hiding communications, but there's no fucking way they don't realize that this group or have cameras showing that you guys fucking came in and did this. Now, whether they realize where you're at and all that fun stuff, who knows?
I don't know what you're talking about. We were perfectly quiet and subtle about it.
100%. No one ever saw you guys go in. Yeah,
super subtle. Yeah,
no one saw you go in. No one saw you come out. That's awesome.
As if it never happened.
I mean, you did leave two survivors, I should say. There was two survivors. There was those two people in that room that you didn't kill. I was going to say, you technically didn't leave any survivors, but there's cameras. But yeah, anyways.
And of Andrian.
That's true. Forgot about that. So, as you guys come kind of swooping into Zed Station, pull into Hasachir's, I always fuck that up. The little ramp kind of comes out that connects to you guys, and because your guys is the good vibrations actually in the hangar right now, so this little kind of tunnel kind of comes out, hooks onto your guys' ship, and opens up, and everybody starts to kind of filter out.
Whoa.
What you got?
I think you're just gonna like stop everyone that is everyone that isn't a part of the main Good Vibrations crew,
yeah,
is getting stopped at the threshold and like, no. See, like, this is your ship. That one's our ship. We're just establishing that ahead of time, okay? Your ship, our ship. Do we want to take them into the Good Vibrations?
What?
I get that you're probably on something right now, Eddie, or like a little spaced out because, you know, the parental figure. But do we want all of these people under the Good Vibrations when they could just stay here on this one?
Are we at Zed?
Like, maybe only a select few come over?
Yes, you guys have just landed at Zed.
Oh, well, aren't they going to stay here?
I mean, like...
Oh, that's where they lived.
Yeah, I get that, but, like, you know what? Maybe my brain's malfunctioning right now. It's been a really long day.
Yeah, just for reference, you guys are at the hangar. You're getting off into the hangar. You're not like going on to the Good Vibrations right now. No, the Good Vibrations is parked in the hangar.
I thought we had linked up to the Good Vibrations, and I was going to be like, no.
The Good Vibrations is in the hangar. You guys have hooked into the hangar like as a secondary hookup, like a tunnel hookup thing. That's like
accordion.
Yeah, exactly, like accordion. So you guys can move into the hangar, but the Good Vibrations is sitting in the hangar. Like, so this is just like another entrance to the hangar into Zed Station. Not, they don't have to get on your ship if you guys don't want.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
No, they're all making. But it was a good thing you said, because they're all making a mad dash for it right now. They're gonna try to steal your ship. They fucking just take off running all.
Later, sucker.
Yeah.
I have anything to say about it.
Nice.
Scream and kill every single one of them.
Can't kill us all! That's what Moff Kala yells just as they
take off. Mainly because we don't have enough room. So no, hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yep.
You don't have to be around the gross lizard for much longer, Ginger.
Yeah, super thrilled about that. By the way, sorry for going back and getting her.
You're sorry? Why?
Well, I mean, like, if she were dead, you wouldn't really have to deal with her, so I could have just been like, maybe just sit and stay. But it seemed like maybe, like, you wanted to work something out, or unresolved tension.
I have no idea what I want to do.
Okay, that's fair.
But I do know that I don't know. Does that help?
Kinda.
Happy to help.
Yeah, organics are weird. And I say that as one, but, like, all my time spent kaleidoscoping is various kinds, and I still don't really fully get you.
Me neither. You look at Shadoo, and he's like, look, I have no idea what's going on in their mind right now. Do you? Look at him. Look.
Murder. Kill.
What am I thinking? And he's like right next to Shadoo, just saying this too. Like
staring at the side of his, at the side of their face.
What's going on in their mind? you know?
The landscape of Sidoon's mind is like a heavy metal video.
See, like I want to say it's the opposite. And that it's like a K-pop fucking like song going on. It's like it's like Blackpink or something being played in the back of his head.
That'd be amazing.
I find that one. That would be. But Sidoon, they get to take back home.
We gotta find some answers, though. That's for sure.
Yep, let's get the zombies and your mother onto the good vibrations. I can keep an eye on them.
Screech just points at Eddie's mom.
Damn, savage.
His opinion of her is already very, very low. Apparently.
Yeah. She upset Eddie quite a bit. Not a zombie yet. But we're not. Let's not rule it out.
You guys are so dark. Yeah. You're edgy. So edgy.
Edgy.
Crunch.
Eddie.
Edgy is just Eddie's alter ego.
Yeah. Edgy. Edgy Fry.
That'd be fucking amazing.
It's your alt universe with your phone. Actually, this one wouldn't have a goatee.
That'd be so sweet if, like, that's what he named his knife.
Edgy Fry.
My knife, Edgy Fry.
Hi, I'm Eddie. This is my knife, Edgy.
You need to know more about me, or are you ready to hire me? Me and Edgy Fry.
I love it. Oh, shit. Okay, so...
Yeah. That's canon.
It's canon. I love it. Say, you don't use that knife as much as you used to. And say, now that you got the blade, the moon blade, but it's still in our hearts and in our minds. So, yeah, everybody starts to kind of shuffle out. You guys can obviously escort the zombies again if you're all working together. It's not a big deal escorting the zombies and nobody getting bit. Actually, if everybody could roll me a fortitude save or reflex save. Give me a reflex save. Let's see who gets bit.
Wait, really?
No,
oh, do it.
I'll roll.
No, I'm not going to make you guys roll to see who gets a zombie. Oh, never mind. Eddie rolled so he gets
a 3 for a 14.
Okay, now give me a fortitude save.
No.
Bodyguard.
I don't know if you can. You can take half. Okay, so you both get bit. Don't you take half of it?
Actually, bam. No, hang on. What is it called? Intervene?
Yeah.
I can take the damage.
I'm kidding. You guys aren't getting bit by zombies.
Scree turning into a zombie would fit like a glove.
Yeah, don't chicken out.
Dude, I'm not chickening out.
You did this.
Don't. First of all, don't you tell me about chickening out. I'll do whatever the fuck I want. I'm God here.
Wow, that escalated.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It did. Mm-hmm. I am.
Sheesh.
I am all powerful. I am he who shall not be named.
I think he feels threatened.
A little bit. Anyways, so as everybody shuffles out, you. Like I said, you guys have no trouble getting the zombies on board the Good Vibrations. Same with Sylvana, or as mm-hmm. Eddie knows her, Sylvia Fry. As you guys everybody splits off. First off, depending on where you guys want to go and who you want to talk to, the first thing is Moff Kala comes up to you before heading off to Talmrin. And also, as you guys fly in, you notice that Talmrin and Hasashir are actually up on, like, the gangway. Apparently, they got scans that you guys were coming in and, you know, wanted to greet you. So, both Talmrin and Hasashir are up on the little gangway up above and, you know, waiting. So, the majority of the prisoners start moving that way, still riding Akimbo, the giant slug. Because again, some of them are missing feet and stuff, and they're not in the best condition. But Moff Kala mm-hmm. comes up to you and just, you know, is thanking you. It's like, you have done us such a big service, and we appreciate you on everything you've done. If you ever have any need of me, I will be there. I in this life or the next, even through hell itself, if you call on me, I will be there.
Right now.
And then she also goes and joins all the people, and you see them kind of like give hugs and stuff to Talmran as they come up and everything. And you also notice Hasachir's look seems to be doing pretty good too. Like, even after all that, you haven't seen him fucking slip into a coffin fit yet, which is fantastic. So everybody's kind of doing their thing. Is who's talking to who wants to do what, because yeah, everybody's kind of out there. Aristo is still actually sitting on the relic, kind of head down and leaned up against his rifle. You got Red is with all the goblins kind of doing their thing, just still being loud and obnoxious. Sidonia actually steps off the tunnel, and it's kind of funny to see because she takes this big breath of air, like freedom, which is when you really think about it, it seems a little silly because she's an android and she doesn't breathe, but there's something symbolic to it that's kind of beautiful. So that she has this moment where she just takes in a deep breath, like finally free. So all this stuff's going on. You got your Hasachir, you got your Talmran with all the prisoners, you got Aristo, you got Sylvana, you got all these people. Anybody wants to talk to right now before people start going their separate ways and doing their thing?
I think that Ginger would grab Sidoun by one of the various elbows and steer them aside for a moment.
So,
hey, can I ask you something before, like, things get crazy again?
Huh.
See, you've done a lot of killing, and I think Aristo has too, because, you know, a former soldier thing going on there. But they just kind of, like, essentially enacted the betrayal they've been acting for several weeks by joining us. Could you maybe, like, you're probably the best suited person to talk about it.
You... probably looking at Sidoun right now, you probably see like a very like tired, like someone who's seen like heavy combat, now just coming out of it, very similar to what Aristo's looking at right now. They're just not moping about it. Sorry, that's such a fucking rude way to say that, but
no, it's fine.
Sidoun has a very similar look to Aristo right now.
Sure.
Are you okay?
That was a lot of shit. Just happened.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe someone needs to sit the both of you down. Eddie? She's still trying to pass the book. Oh my god.
No, I'll go. Eddie's talk walking to his mother by the elbow towards the good vibrations. He ignores it.
Yeah. Okay.
No, Ginger, she'd probably still try. Eddie!
No, she's not gonna insist on it. Okay. Ginger's not suited for therapy, so give me a second.
Sadoon's going to talk to Aristo anyway.
Okay.
But I want to see if Ginger ends up turning into a therapist. I just realized who Ginger reminds me of. I don't know if anybody's seen the show, but there is a TV show that only it lasted about 3 seasons, but it was called The United States of Terra. And it was a great show. It's actually Brie. It was like Brie Larson's first thing. She plays the girl's daughter, and I can't think of her name, but it was the mom from Hereditary. She's the main character, and she has like multiple personalities, and it's about just this normal like family trying to get through life and shit with a mom who has these multiple personalities and that slips into them all the time. Like whenever she's like in distress, she'll just dip into these other like alternate like people. And so that reminds me. And actually in one of them, she becomes a therapist and starts giving herself therapy, like in fucking things. And then the husband, because he thinks she's actually going to see a therapist, then he walks in and it's her in like a different outfit. And he's just like, "What the fuck?" And he's all upset. But anyways, moving on.
Yeah, no. So leaving the two of them to talk, but keeping a safe distance, just kind of like uncomfortably watch.
So yeah, Risto got his head down on the relic, just holding his rifle.
Sit down next to him.
Yeah, he kind of, after you sit down, he kind of realizes that, like, oh, did we make it back?
Yeah, we made it.
Good. Good. He kind of just, like, kind of stares off. He's not really looking at you. He's like, there's no going back now. This is it, Sidon.
Yeah. We're, past the point of no return.
Yeah, it's just, you know, up until this point, I kind of thought, you know, there would be, you know, this has been an amazing journey with you guys, and I thought maybe, like, but it was always kind of didn't feel real. Like, that, like, one day I would just end up back on the farm or something, and here we are.
You still can.
Oh, no. I'm a traitor now. They'll kill me. They do terrible things to traitors.
I think there's a moment of Sidon just, like, working their jaw.
But, and I think it's funny, because as you're sitting there trying to, like, figure, I think, because I assume you're trying to figure out what to say to him.
Yeah.
And, exactly, so I think he kind of sits there, and he sits up, puts his hands on his thighs, and you see he actually lets go of the rifle and doesn't even realize he does it. It kind of clatters to the ground, and he's just like, oh. He just takes this big sigh. He's like, well, guess we move forward then. And he stands up, picks up his rifle, gives you a slap on the shoulder, and he's like, don't worry, Sidon, it's gonna be alright. And walks off the ship.
Yep. Someday you'll get back to that farm. And you won't be a traitor.
Nah, fuck that farm. It was boring anyways.
Alright, I tried.
But you do seem like, you do notice that, like, something's changed about him. Like, he seems a little, maybe more, a little more confident. Like, maybe not as broken as he seemed, but maybe it's all them Spruce Gillis movies.
You know, sometimes you just have to take a little inspiration.
But we don't have any bards.
Boo.
Thank you for that nice long gap in the boo. That was perfect. That'd be fun to just leave in. A fucking long ass pause.
Boo. Oh god.
Sometimes I farm.
I love how like pleased he is with himself.
I do love it. It's more when I farm it. Like, I know it's coming. I know I want that pause, and if I can elicit it, and I, like, I'm literally counting sometimes, and I'm like, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 1,000. And finally I get like a, that sucks, or god damn it, or an Adam going like, I fucking hate you. And any of those, and then I'm like, there it is. That was it. Okay. Anyways, moving on. So, before we get to Eddie and all your stuff, because you got a lot to unpack. Red comes walking up to you, Sidon, and it kind of puts the thumb over his shoulder towards the relic, because you guys are still on the relic, I assume, at this point. And as you're walking off, and he's like, which essentially says, this is mine now.
I don't know about that. We need to decide what to do with all of you.
Ka-chow! Which essentially means, I'm naming it the Ka-chow, and this is mine now.
Can I lock the door behind me?
You can. Yeah. Yeah, sure. That's fine. He's like, he walks up, he's like tapping on it, like,
you're like putting in the security code, and he's like looking over your shoulder, so you move a little bit.
Yeah. he's like,
arm him. He's a goblin.
He's like, forearms, door's locked, ka-chow, I can't get in.
What?
Looks like the door's jammed. We'll have Boris fix it in a sec.
Yeah, he turns to the other goblins. He's like, da-ba-da-da-ba-da! That's like, essentially, get to it, boys! And they all just start fucking prying at the door and going goblin on it. And fucking, all of a sudden they have like bark welders and shit that you don't know where the hell they pulled them out of, and they're just fucking trying to go to town on the door.
Unstoppable force. Alright. I walk away. I'm not going to try to stop them.
That's okay. They don't seem to be making too much progress. But yeah, anything else anybody else wants to talk to or anything? Say.
No, I'd say that in all of the hubbub, Scree like did his very stealthy thing and just ran over to the Good Vibrations.
Ducked inside the Good Vibrations, went back into his vents.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's like, I don't know why, but he's just staying out of the way.
Nope. It's understandable. You did notice that there was one goblin that was kind of looking for you.
There was probably a moment where Scree stopped, mm-hmm. like behind a crate or something, watching them. Mm-hmm. Just that one particular goblin. And then he went, sniff, and just huffed off to the Good Vibrations.
Well, yep, that, so yeah, that one goblin was looking for you, for kind of just looking out. And then once they couldn't find you, though, they stuck with their little group and continued to work on the door as Red commanded.
Mm-hmm.
Were we getting paid for busting Talmran's friends out?
As you say that, Talmran comes kind of down the scaffolding, and you can see the rest of them are still up there. The rest of the prisoners are up on the gangway kind of chatting. In fact, let's shoot on over to the... So, this is the hangar that you guys are in. And I don't have everybody here, but, in fact, I can kind of pull you over. Sorry if you're on the Good Vibrations. I'll just slide you over a little bit. But, so you guys are here. The Good Vibrations is parked right there. The little hatch thingy kind of comes off over here, connecting to the other ship. I don't have it all on the page and stuff, but all of the other folks are up here on the gangway or the catwalk kind of up above. Hashachir's over here by the door, and Talmran comes walking around to you, Sidhun, and hears you say that. He's like, well, you see, sir, the agreement first, I supplied you with everything and I got you info with Sedona. But, however, you came through so well with what you did that I believe a new reward is required. And I will be transferring it to you immediately. Can I see your datapad just for a second?
I think Sidhun's so tired, would normally be very paranoid about this, but mm-hmm. hands over a datapad.
Yep. So they take the datapad and they swipe a little card through it and turn it back over to you. And you see that the Good Vibrations account has been credited with 10,000 credits. And he also says, and I will have 5,000 more UPBs delivered to the dock in short time, and you are to spend them however you will. You have done an amazing thing. All of my friends have made it back alive, and this is more than I could ever ask. You have done this old little weasel a great service, and thank you.
Pleasure doing business.
Nope, no sweat.
I mean, there was a lot of sweat, but like, we managed.
Well, I bet you there was much of blood and tears as well, but...
Yeah, a little bit. Gonna upgrade the ship.
Ah, yes, that, you know what, I will handle that as well. Hashachir! Damn it, even he can't get it right. Hashachir, I will pay for any upgrades that needs to be done to the Good Vibrations. You just... provide the parts, get it fixed up and upgraded however they want. I will foot the bill for everything. And you hear Hashachir. I will get this handled. What the fuck voice did I use for him?
Oh, yeah, Werner Herzog.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, so I will make sure it is taken care of, yes. Unfortunately, my stocks are a little low, so I will have to go out and get some of the supplies, but it would be handled, yes.
We have no idea how we're gonna upgrade it yet anyway, so.
Yeah, you know, can't wait.
Yep. So he kind of struts on back, a little pep in his step, and he disappears into the hangar. And Talmern also gives you guys kind of a wave of the, what is that fun? And points to the giant Rivener kind of sniffing around the hold, like at the ship and random things, and just kind of growling here and there.
Oh, her?
Yes, is that an Akeshti?
Yeah.
Ooh, never seen Von's adventures at Rutt before.
Yeah, they were a bit of a problem getting on the ship, and, so they're really only thinking with one organ right now. You probably want to have, like, a babysitter.
Oh, you want me to take them?
Well, we're not keeping them.
That was not one of my friends, but, I mean, you know what? I can handle it. Don't worry. I'll find a place for them that is safe, and I'm sure we can take care of them? And they kind of, like, make, like, a little question mark, hands up, like, come on, big lady, we got you. Come on, come on. And she's, like, doing this, like gimme hands, like, to a dog type thing. The big thing kind of lumbers over a little anxious, but starts to make their way. It's like, okay, I'm going to take them, and I'm going to hide them away. We're going to have to lie low for a while. Again, Hasachia said they will get working on your ship. It might be a few days, but it's probably best you lay low a little while anyway. So we will get this taken care of, get them hidden away and let them lie low, and then perhaps get them passage off of Zed back to the Pact Verbs if we get a chance. Or wherever they want to go, I guess. They might want to stay here and try to continue their work as far as collecting relics and keeping them away from the Aslanti, but I know I'm not going to be doing that. Fuck that. But again, thank you all. I appreciate you. And if there's anything else you need, you reach out. Just reach out and touch Talmern. That is a saying I have come up with. Excellent. So, they kind of wrangle up everybody and take the giant fucking Rivener by, like, the pinky. And is, like, walking it along. And they start heading out as well. Talmern takes all of the folks. You guys are now left with your folks and I guess goblins count as your folks too at the moment. But yeah, they're still over there trying to get in the door.
Will Talmern take Aristo?
No, Talmern did not take Aristo.
Come on.
No.
We could have been done with him.
Why would you want to be done with him?
Oh,
he is a sweetheart.
Fuck you guys. I'm out of here.
Aristo, where are you going to go? You're in Aslanti.
Yeah, I'm in Aslanti space. You guys are the fucking ones out of the fish out of water.
He's a pretty good point.
I can blend in wherever.
I hope I don't need to remind
until, like,
you.
Yeah, until they catch you and execute you.
There's a bunch of cultists who were ordered to kill any Aslanti on Zed Station. So
I assume that was a joke. Were you guys really telling him to get fucked? I guess his response was a joke as well. But if you guys are saying it, we can have the conversation.
No, he's staying.
Like, there's a cult. There's a cult dedicated to kill every kind of alien. Come on.
There's actually a lot to. There's something to that. There's a lot of like. I mean, in a way, the Aslanti are kind of a cult, and they're killing just about everybody else.
There you go.
You're not supposed to agree with Eddie. Have I taught you nothing?
Ginger, I will always cherish the things you have taught me.
Especially you're not going anywhere. Stop talking like you are.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
But sometimes a bird has to spread his wings. No. I clipped your wings. Yeah. You don't have wings.
You're not supposed to have independent thought.
You're a stupid wingless bird.
The orange is just going to stare.
That's just a... fucking ridiculous. I forgot Oris was a bird.
That's like, oh, God.
He's just shaking his head.
Not hey, that all I think birds there's bird stupid. Egg on your face.
Brooms.
There's not that all birds are dumb.
Well, I guess I'll just
I mean,
take
there's
to
a reason
a
we have the phrase bird brain. Just saying.
Alright, I'm gonna leave and just walk towards the ship.